great grace being released in this moment, and our scales being removed from eyes so you can see more clearly than you've ever seen before. You're going to step out of this place, and you're going to, everything is going to look new. Now let's just sing that song. I looked at my hands look, everything is going to be brighter. Everything is going to be crisper. Everything is going to be clearer. God is removing scales from some eyes today. And you will not see the same way you saw when you walked through those doors. He's changing your vision so you can see what he sees. Yes, God, do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Just do it, Lord, just do it, Lord. Now, I know some of you all, we just sang. I'm getting ahead of myself and my message, but we just sang that wonderful chorus. We just sang, your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Now, we okay with the goodness running after us. But let me tell you something. This next part, God heard you when you said it. With my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you some things, a third of the things. I give you everything. So here's what happens. God has a way of getting us to pray prayers we wouldn't normally pray by putting it in a song. So when you said, with my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. And in this process, when he comes to claim what you've given him, and you're like, what are you doing? What are you taking? Why? But didn't you say you laid your life down? Didn't you say you gave me everything? Didn't you say you surrendered in that moment? I'm coming after what you laid down. And we fighting him. But I want it back. I want it back. I want it back. It's part of the process, but didn't you say, I give you everything, everything. Michael, you know what that means? Everything. My finances, my family, my job, my reputation, my career, my idea of who I think I am, everything. 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 You know what it means, Yvonne? Without exception. Without exception. Everything. All. Everything in the Hebrew, everything in the Greek still means the same. Without exception. All of it I give to you. So think it not strange, y'all. Some of the stuff you're going through. Now, on Friday, Pastor Jamal said, you got a title for your message. I think I have one. And I gave him one, but that really wasn't it. Because we're talking about maximum kingdom manifestation in and through us. And so, but God said to me, the message was an unveiling of my sons and a return to my original intent. An unveiling, a revealing, a manifestation of my true sons. Now, understand, a son is different from a child. So I guess so y'all won't say she didn't use, no, she wasn't in the book. It's gonna be in the book. When we came into this year, and I'm going to get to my passage of scripture. I'm going, Debbie, I'm going to Romans 8 in a minute. Well, no, maybe not. Just hold on. Two things, well, except more than two things, but I'll share two things that the Lord spoke to me coming out of 2023. He said that this would be a year of great fruitfulness and that this would be a greater unveiling of the sons of God. So the unveiling is really about allowing the world to see who we really are. And a lot of times we look at certain passages of scripture, and I want to, before we open the book, and we see everything. I don't know why, Pastor Jamal, I don't know why we read stuff in the Bible and we always relegate it to sometime in the future. So a lot of times if you look in commentaries and you look in Romans 8 around verse 19, and they'll say, when Jesus comes back, there's going to be this great unveiling. But y'all know what? He's doing it now. Everything is not for the future. Arietta, if it's accomplished, it's finished. It's finished now. And so there's some things we can expect to see manifested now. Because it's already been done. We gotta catch up. We gotta step into what's already been accomplished and live from that place of what he's already done. I'm not waiting for Jesus to split the sky to be unveiled as his son. I'm not waiting for him to split the sky to have his glory revealed not only to me, but in me, then through me. That's his original intention for us. Ephesians 1. We go to Genesis. I'm going to do this real quick. So here we are. God's talking about fruitfulness. But how many of you recognize, in order to be fruitful, I'm not a gardener, but I know enough to know that if I'm going to bring forth a bountiful harvest, some got to die. Something got to die. And I heard my sister say, and there's some pruning that goes on. So we just prayed this prayer. My life is laid down. I surrender now. Give you everything. Do what you got to do. I'm ready for the unveiling of who I truly am to the world. I'm ready for the maximum manifestation of your kingdom in my life. And it requires a death. It requires a cutting. It requires fire. See, God don't tell you that at the beginning. When you're singing that nice little chorus, I give you everything, and Lord, I want all you got for me, and the Lord, use me, I want to be you. God, I want to be used by you. And God said, I got a purpose, I got a plan, I got something for you, but there's a process. There's a process. And it's not always pleasant. We like instant, microwavable, can I have this done? God, I know you got a process, and you said you spoke a word to me. Let me tell you about a prophetic word. When you receive a prophetic word, it puts you in process. Because the word, the person who receives that word has to become the person God has always known you to be in order to manifest that word through you. So the moment you get that word and you shout and enjoy it, and I'm going to write books and I'm going to speak all over the world and I'm going to prophesy people all up under the seats or whatever God said, there's a process. Because the you that you are in this moment is not the you that will walk that word out. And therefore, there was always an Abraham in Abram. Abram received the word. Abraham received the promise. Why? 25 years of, I got to get Abram out so that Abram can come forth. There was always an Israel in Jacob. 20 years, he had to kill Jacob so that Israel could come forth. God always knew that there was an Israel. Jacob didn't know there was an Israel. Abram didn't know there was an Abraham. But know this, from the moment God shows you who you are and speaks identity and destiny and calling of your life, from that point forward, that's who he's talking to every time he talks to you. Abram wasn't Abraham when God changed his name. He was still becoming. Can you imagine? You ain't got no kids. Abraham means great father. So you go to the post office. I got to fill out a name change thing. What's your name? Abraham. How many kids you got? I don't have any. Abraham? How are we going to call you Abraham? You got no kids. Because God said, That's who I am. The thing is, we don't know what God is saying who we are. And then when he comes to us and says, this is who I've called you. This is who I've created you to be. But I formed you in your mother's womb. Your whole identity, your purpose preceded your conception and your birth. And the rest of life is God pulling out who he knows is in there. And because of the lies that we believed about ourselves, because of the sin, because of a variety of things, when God says, this is who you are, we go, that's not me. Oh, no, I can't do that. Do you know who I am? And God's like, yeah, but do you know who you are? It's about going through the process. God's part is done. It's how we respond when he speaks to us in the midst of the process that's going to determine the level of glory that people are going to see in our lives and the degree to which we walk out what he's already purposed for us to walk out. It requires a death. I am so not in my notes, but... We say things like, God, I just want you to show up. Reveal your glory. Fill this place with your presence. And I think God's saying, I really don't want that. Because if I showed up really the way you think you want me to show up, Malachi, turn to Malachi 3. This is what happened. Well, it happened. With the Israelites, God said, prepare yourself, I'm going to show up. 3 days, consecrate yourself. Moses said, God's coming on the mountain. And then when he showed up, it wasn't what they was expecting. And they're like, oh, no, we can't, no, 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 no. Moses, you go, because we don't want to die. So if somebody going to die, you go first. Because the way he showed up in his holiness, they weren't ready for that. So when we say, God, we want you to fill this place with your presence, are we ready? That's what it's saying in Malachi. Malachi 3. And I'm reading from New King James, if I can get to it. It's always good to have a Bible. Am I hearing pages turn? No. I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. The Lord whom you seek. How many seek? Well, seeking. The Lord whom you seek. But then he says, but who can endure? So the question is, I'm coming, but can you stand when I come? Why? Because he says, I'm coming as a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap to purify the sons of Levi. God, we just want you to come. But when the fire comes, like, what is that? If we're going to see greater manifestation of his kingdom in and through us, if we are going to become the ones who allow people to see his glory in a way they've never seen before, here's the deal, y'all. People should look at you and say, wow, I want to know that God. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men. They'll see your good works and they will glorify you. Nah, they're glorify your Father who is in heaven. Think about this. Moses spent 40 days in the presence of God. I can only imagine what that was like. Now, the thing I always find interesting about this story in Exodus is God says, come up and be with me. So Moses goes, and for 7 days, God doesn't say anything. 7 whole days. Day 2, Moses might be getting a little hungry. Did I really hear you say, come up here? I'm getting a little hungry. Day four, now most of us would have been saying, I must have missed God. I'm going back down to the camp. 7 days he waited. What do we miss because we won't wait? What do we miss because we don't wait? And my friend Bonnie and I go to the movies all the time. And how many Marvel fans? Marvel fans? They roll the credits. It's at the end, and people getting up out their seats. And Bonnie's getting ready to get up. I said, nope, can't leave. We gotta wait. You gotta wait. There's more. We gotta sit through all of the credits to get the more. And I'm watching people get up. Bonnie's like, the second or third time at the movies, Bonnie said, they don't know. I said, they don't know. There's more. But you gotta be willing to wait. Moses goes, but then a cloud comes down, and God says, come on up. And he's in the presence of the living God for, am I moving too much? In the presence of the living God, 40 days. And my Bible tells me that when he came down, his face shone so much that folks were running like, whoa! To the point where he covered his face. He covered his face and talked to the people. Then we read in 2 Corinthians that his glory was a fading glory. But guess what? We don't have a fading glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18, my life verse. But with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being what? Transformed, metamorpho is that Greek word. We're being changed from one form to another. What happens to a caterpillar? He becomes a butterfly, totally different in appearance. It says we are being transformed into the same image, the image that we're gazing at in that mirror. We're being transformed into that image from glory to glory to glory. And each glory, between each glory, is a process. A deeper cutting. We're going to bring forth much fruit. You got to be pruned. So when Jesus starts bringing out some pruning shears, and you're wondering, why am I being cut? Because you see it. You want it. All he had for you. Because you said you wanted people to see Jesus in you. So when the pruning shears come out, just say, cut, God. I know this is the thing I understand about God. He doesn't necessarily use an anesthesia to numb the pain sometimes. So you just gotta. But let me tell you something. It's worth it. It's worth every snip. Every snap, every crack. You said, I want to be like you. I want people to see you in me. Part of the suffering that you may find yourself going through in this process is because you are being conformed into the image of his son. And there's some stuff that only can come out by fire. So when he turns the heat up, remember, you said. He didn't force you to say it, did he? You said, I want to be like Jesus. You said. So just the knee and the heat. What happened with the four Hebrew boys? There was four folk in the furnace with them, right? There was a fourth, because he's in there with you. You may not always, he may not be talking much or talking loud, but he's in there with you. So you can endure. So it said, who will be able to stand? Who will be able to endure? Because I'm coming as a purifying fire to get out everything in you that is not like me so that you can step into the place that I've already prepared for you so that others can come to know who I am. That verse in 2 Corinthians 3:18, some verses read, some translations say, with unveiled face, revealing the glory of God. So I gaze into his face and I behold his glory as if I'm looking in a mirror so that I can reveal his glory out into the earth. And each step is a process to greater and greater and greater shine. A brighter and a brighter and a brighter light if we endure. So I really am going to go to Romans real quick. How many of you know that everything that you need to fulfill purpose and destiny, you have already, it's already in you. It's already there. Genesis 1, God speaks. I love this. Okay, there I go. I love the word of God. Can you tell? I get excited about the word of God. So in Genesis, picture this. In eternity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, they just chilling and loving each other and loving on each other in this great, this wonderful atmosphere. And then Jesus says, you know what, Dad? This is just too good to keep to ourselves. And God said, you know, I was just thinking the same thing. Let's make some people. I want a big old family that can enjoy this same thing that we're enjoying right here. And Holy Spirit said, yes, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And so God steps out and he creates all of creation with the word. A word, a spoken word brought it all into being. So we got the sun and the moon and the stars and we got the rivers and the oceans and the seas and the trees. And then he puts little creatures in there, birds in the air, fish in the sea, little things crawling around. I don't know why the crawling around things were necessary, but nonetheless, the cattle and all of that great stuff. And then he says, let's make man in our own image. I want to gaze into his face and just see myself right there, gazing back at me. If anybody has ever seen a picture of my mama, I'm a spitting image of Phyllis B. Gaston. Every time anybody who knew her sees me now, you look just like your mother. I know. I was created in her image. So what should people be seeing when they look at you? Whose image have you been created in? What should people expect from you? Because you have been created in his likeness. So when I look at you, Rondessa, I should know something about what God is like. So he forms... I see God just so gingerly creating man. And then we get to 1:28, it says, and then he blessed him. And that word blessed in the Hebrew means that first of all, the word is barak, which means to kneel. And we never think of God just peering into Adam's face going, wow, this is the greatest thing I've ever created. Let's celebrate. And then, but it also means to endow with the capacity and the capabilities to carry out whatever I've called you to carry out. God blessed him. How many blessed folk I got in here? So you know that you have been endowed with everything you need, the capacity and the capabilities to fulfill whatever he has spoken concerning you. It's already there. Now it needs to be matured, it needs to be nurtured, it needs to be grown, but it's already there. He said he blessed him and he told him, be fruitful, multiply. In the kingdom, it's multiplication, it's exponential, it's not addition. Multiply, fill the earth, fill the earth. What has God placed in you? It's not. He's talking about people, yeah, but it's not just about reproducing people. What has God given you that you are to be fruitful with, that he wants you to fill the earth with, because the earth will be a better place because of what you bring? fill the earth. He's telling Adam, I want you to fill the earth with other image bearers so that when I look down on this planet, all I see is my light shining all over the place. More image bearers, more sons. You know Adam was a son, right? One person knows Adam was a son. Adam was a son. You can go to Luke 3, got this genealogy. So it starts with Joseph, who was the son of, And the very last verse says, and Adam, the son of God. He was created as a son to fulfill a very specific purpose, to fill the earth with other sons because God wanted a big old family. He told him, be fruitful, multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Now, subdue means to harness the resources that I have made available to you so that you can use them to your advantage. Doesn't mean beat people down. It means I've already put some resources here available for your use. So I want you to harness those resources and use them to your advantage, which will mean you're using it for others' advantage as well. Not to hoard, but to benefit. How many sons I got in here? Okay, I really am in Romans now. Romans 8. And I think we'll be wrapping this up pretty soon. Romans 8, first from the New King James Version, it says, I'm actually going to start with verse 14 to give it some context, but our focus is going to be verse 18 and 19. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons, not children, but sons. And I'm going to make that distinction in a minute. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We weren't here for prayer, and Pastor Val was talking about being able to just call him Daddy, Papa. That's Abba, my Papa God, my Papa, my Dad. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we, what? What? See, y'all not saying nothing. What's that next word? If indeed we, that's where them pruning shears and that fire comes in. You know what? Most of the suffering we think we're going through is really, my flesh don't want to let go. That's the suffering. God is saying, I'm coming for that. Ah, that? What? Really? You're coming for who you thought you were, and you're clinging to it because you just think that's so important, your identity. And God said, but that's not who you really are. Give that up. But you think your value, your worth is in what you do or who people have said you are or whatever. And God said, God, I got something better. Let go of that. Because that's not even who you are. But we hold on to what we think we got to hold on to. Well, Bob was here last week, and his dilemma was, everything that I need to do what you call me to do, you've taken away. So what happens when God is coming for the thing that you think you need to fulfill purpose and destiny? And that's that suffering place. I don't want to let this go. I think I need it. God said, but if you just let it go, I got so much more for you over here, something better over here. That's nothing. That's not who you really are. Let it go. So our suffering is, I want to hold on to. And God is saying, if you just let it go. So now you got to pry it away from you sometimes. And there we go, back into the fire. There we go, back into wherever. So when he says, let it go. Let it go. Let it go. Yeah. So, verse 17, if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be what? Glorified together. 18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory with which shall be revealed in us. Some translations say to us. That Greek word can be translated either way, and I guess there is a level of it being revealed to us, but I think this is the best translation because it's the glory was already there. And sin kind of muddied it all up and hid it and all that stuff. And God said, but I'm, as you come to me, my son, and spend time with me and allow me to do the work in you that I desire to do in you, I'm going to show you something that's in you that is far more valuable than what you think you're going through or what may you think hurts is hurting right now. It's my glory in you. And I'm revealing that glory, not just to you, but so others can see me. You know, guys, Moses is kind of wrestling with God. You know, we do it. He said, you're a great deliverer. I'm going to send you into Egypt. And you go, and he's saying, wait a minute, no, I can't even talk. No, I don't think so. Then Moses says this. I mean, God says this to Moses. See, I need you to see. We talked about changing vision. I need you to see what I see. He said the same thing to Jeremiah. He comes to him and he says, see, I have put my word in your mouth and you're going to be a prophet to the nations. And you're going to, and Moses, I mean, Jeremiah's like, wait a minute, no. And God said, don't say that. Say what I say. And I said, now see yourself doing that, being that, and step into what I've already said. So going back to Moses, God says to him, this trips me out every time I read it. He said, you will be as God to Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh already thought he was a god. But in other words, when you stand before Pharaoh, when he looks at you, he's seeing me. So I just want to ask a question. So when people look at you, what are they seeing? Are they saying, wow, I want to know that God that she knows? Or are they saying, is that what God's like? I've seen some folks and I looked at them and said, that can't be what God is like. That don't match with my Bible. No, I don't care what you call yourself. That ain't God. But we don't want to go through the process so that he can reveal his glory in us. Yeah. Let's finish this up. 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. 19. For earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing, the unveiling, the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation failed when Adam made that decision. I think I can be like God without God. That's in essence what he was saying. The enemy came and said, God's holding back on you. He knows in the day that you eat that fruit, you're going to be just like him. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm already like him. But he made him think he was missing something. Well, made Eve think they were missing something. So now you're going to try to be like God, who you were already like, but you're going to try to be like him, independent of him. Can't do it. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. So all creation was impacted with that one decision. And they're waiting. I heard somebody teaching this and said, it's like all creation is standing on their tippy toes going, are they going to show up? Are they going to show up? They're waiting for you to show up. This is how it reads in the Amplified Classic. It says, I'm going to start with 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time, this present life, are not worth being compared with the glory that is about to be revealed to us and in us and for us and conferred on us. And that's some glory. To us, in us, for us, on us. Whew. We just waiting for some sons to show up. On your job, somebody's just waiting for a son to show up. In your family, somebody's just waiting for a son to show up. the process so they can see what God wants them to see when you show up. Are you showing up as a son? And sometimes you can show up as a son. You don't have to say nothing. Son of God here. No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. You just got to show up. Sometimes you just got to show up. You don't even have to open your... Just show up. Atmosphere should shift and change because you stepped in the room. Son of God. Just because you walked in. I remember I was teaching at this middle school. I posted about this on Facebook. It was worst school. Apologies to Pastor Nina because I think she went there. But worst school. I left with a T-shirt that said, I survived Mary Middle School. And I had this student, I had seventh graders. This kid was old enough to drive to school. And he was, so I would go in and I anoint and pray in my room every day. And I stood over his seat one day and I said, Holy Spirit, I know you're here everywhere, but can you sit right here? just enthrone yourself in this seat. And I just left him. He came to class. He was wonderful. In the middle of the class, he said, I'm being good. I said, I know. I know. It just shocked him that he was being good. I said, that's Holy Spirit. He's sitting in that chair with you. Just waiting for us to show up and shift the atmosphere and establish a place of kingdom reign. Wherever you go, you should be establishing God's kingdom and his reign in that place as a son of God. One of my favorite translations is the Weiss translation. I'm going to read this and I'm going to wrap this up. Weiss is, it's an expanded translation, and its intent is to try to keep it grammatically as close to the Greek as possible. So this is what this says. I want to start right there. Well, maybe I will, starting with verse 14. For as many are being constantly led by God's Spirit. Hear that? For as many who are being constantly led by God's Spirit, these are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery again with resulting fear, but received the Spirit who places you as adult sons. By whom, the word adoption in the Hebrew and the Greek literally means to place. So by adoption, we have been placed in the family of God, and you have the same rights as anybody else in the family. The same rights, that's why we say joint heirs with Christ, because whatever rights he has, we got it too. I'm not a second citizen. I'm not the stepchild. I've been placed, and this says, as adult sons by whom we cry with deep emotion, Abba, namely Father. The Spirit himself is constantly bearing joint testimony with our spirit that we are God's children, and since children, also heirs on the one hand, heirs of God, on the other hand, joint heirs with Christ, provided that we are suffering. That's a continual state. We are suffering with him in order that we also may be glorified together. For I have come to a reasoned conclusion that the sufferings of this present season are not to be compared with, and I think it actually says, it's not, the weight of this suffering is not so bad because of the glory that is continually being revealed in and to and in us. So whatever it is you are enduring, understand we don't suffer as everybody else in the world just because of sin and just life. You're suffering for faith. You're suffering to be conformed into the image of dear son. There's purpose in your suffering, and there's something, I'm going to finish with this, that we're going to learn from Jesus, our perfect example. Turn to Hebrews 5, and then I'm going to wrap it up. One of the most sacred places in my life is under the hairdryer. It is a secret place. God meets me under the hairdryer, I'm telling you. So I'm sitting at my salon. This was years ago. And I'm reading through the Bible, and I'm in Hebrews, and I'm reading these words, and I'm like, Have you ever just read something and go, I don't understand that. Why, So I'm reading in Hebrews 5, and I'm going to start with verse 5. We're focusing on 7. What can we learn about suffering through Jesus Christ? So also, Hebrews 5, verse 5, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become priest. Now, he did not glorify himself. We do not glorify ourselves either. He didn't do that. He said, everything I do, I do what my Father's doing. I speak what my Father's speaking. Everything, I don't do anything outside of him. Wish I had that same testimony all my life. But I'm getting better. But it was he, God the Father, who glorified him, who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. Verse 7, who, speaking of Jesus, in the days of his flesh, when he put on the flesh, he emptied himself of all his deity to us, to come down here and be with us, to show us what God, not just to show us what God is like, and not just to die for our sins and reconcile us back to the Father, but to show us what God intended, how God intended for us to live in union with him. So when we say, well, yeah, he could do that because he was God. No, he was man too. And therefore, he's showing you what I'm doing. He wouldn't have said, what I do, you can do, and you're going to do even greater things because I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. If we couldn't do it. He's training these 12 knuckleheads to do just what he does. And they train other knuckleheads to do what he trained them to do because now they could do it. And we are... I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. I'm speaking faith-filled words. But we have been empowered by Holy Spirit to do what he said and to teach others to do what he said we could do. I have a thing we were talking, I was talking about the word metamorpho, from which we get metamorphosis, and I have this thing for butterflies. So people who know me, you got butterflies in the bathroom, I got butterflies. So I did this study on the metamorphosis from caterpillar to butterfly, and I saw these wonderful spiritual implications. So the female butterfly lays like hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of eggs. They don't all survive, but she's trying to guarantee quite a few number will survive. And when the caterpillar hatches, all he does for most of his life is this: eat, grow, shed. Eat, grow, shed. Eat, grow, shed. Eat the word of God so that we can grow. And as we grow, we're shedding off all that stuff that keeps people from seeing the glory that's in us. The more you eat, the more you grow, the more you'll shed, the more you'll look like your dad. Eat, grow, shed. And then it's been the chrysalis. And it looks like nothing's happening, but the greatest change is happening in the hidden place. It ain't happening up here. It ain't happening on your job. It's not happening as you passing out cards saying, I'm prophet this and apostle that and whatever. It's happening. The greatest change is happening in the hidden place. Now, I've never been able to verify this one, but... Well, I don't know if you've ever seen somebody who looked like they were trying to help the butterfly get out of the cocoon, and he's all because he hasn't fully developed. Because part of that development is having to beat his wings, to beat himself out with his wings so his wings get strong. And we got people trying to help us out our cocoon. And then we wonder why we got weak folk that can't fly. I wasn't planning to say that again. What's planning to talk about butterflies? But let me add this one last thing about the butterfly. The only purpose of the adult butterfly is to reproduce. That's it. That's all. We're supposed to reproduce. Eat, grow, shed, hide, fight your way out of that place to get strong enough to produce others after, not my kind, but his kind. It's part of the process. It's part of the process. And I really am wrapping up now. I'm going to stick with my notes, maybe. Verse 7, speaking of Jesus, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and was heard because of his godly fear. Now, when we hear God heard you, that implies God answered, because he doesn't hear and not answer. It goes hand in hand. So Jesus is crying out, save me from death. And God heard him, which means God answered him. However, it doesn't look like he answered him. But how do you know? How many of you know, even though he went to the cross, he still was saved from death? So we're asking God to do something for us. Save me from something. Get me out of this. And God say, okay, I got you. But you still got to go to the cross. You still got to walk through some things. But I really did save you from death. I really did save you from that. It doesn't look like it from your perspective, but I really did answer your prayer. That goes back to that. So why am I going through this? Because you just prayed. When my life laid down, I surrender now. I give you everything. So think it not strange that it doesn't look like he answered it, but it's already answered. Just got to walk through the process. And that's what Jesus had to do. You got to walk through the process. He was saved from death. So verse 8, though he was a son, and I like this translation because it doesn't say because he was the son. It said though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. Now, Jesus is God. So he knows about obedience, but who does God have to be obedient to? He had to walk out a process in the flesh, in the natural, through the things that he suffered. The Bible tells us that he was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. It was a done deal in the spirit, but he had to walk it out in the natural for it to be what it says in this next verse, complete or perfect. Because when I read this and it said, having been made perfect, and I was like, perfect? It's Jesus. Perfect. But that word really means to complete or come to completion or mature. In order for him to complete the assignment, that means I have to go to the cross. I have to endure that suffering. But on the other side of it, I have really been saved from death so that you could be saved from death. So verse 9 says, and in the Amplified it says, and his completed experience making him perfectly equipped. He went through the process. He endured the pain, the physical pain of the cross. He endured it all for you. You were the joy set before him. You were the joy for which he did everything that he did. And it qualified him. And it qualified him and equipped him to become the author and source of eternal salvation. To become. He was already the author of eternal salvation. But he had to, if Jesus got to walk through the process, what you think? But you got Holy, you got Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and a host of witnesses. And we just looked at Hebrews 12 last week. You were the joy set before him. And every step of the way, with every nail, with every spike in his hands, with every beating, all he was saying is, I see Georgia. She's the joy. I got to go through this because I see Georgia. And I'm it's nobody else but Georgia. I'm going to endure this. Because I see Karima at the end, and I see this glorious life that I have purposed for her, and this wonderful purpose and how she's going to change lives. So I got to go, even though they're beating me, even they're spitting on me, even though they're calling me a charlatan, even though I even know that there are going to be a whole lot of people that won't believe, because I see Edie and she is my joy set before me. I'm going to endure the process just because of you. When God said, you're worth it. You're worth it. So when he starts coming and breaking stuff and your life ain't looking like you thought it would look, and he's crushing and crunching and doing all of this stuff, what is the joy set before you? I just want to look like you, and if I got to walk this path, so that your glory is revealed in me and through me for others to see. Jesus, you're worth it. Jesus, you're worth it. So where are you stuck? After praying all the prayers and asking, saying God to God, all the stuff that we say, where did you get stuck? What needs to happen now so that you can step into that place of greater shine, the greater glory that God wants to reveal to, in, through, on you? What has you stopped? What are you holding on to? What are the lies that are still ringing in your head telling you who you are not? Don't let your past, don't let religion, let me tell you, religion will lie to you in a minute and keep you stuck thinking, I got to do it this way. I got to dress this way. I can't, no, God doesn't do that anymore. Read your Bible. If he didn't say he's not doing it like that anymore, then he's still doing it. He didn't say, I'm only going to provide for you for like a little while until you get your act together, then you're on your own. I'm only going to heal for a little while until you change your diet and start exercising, eating right and doing all that stuff, and then you're on your own. Never, 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 never. So if you are not in a place where you believe you should be, God is showing you a picture of how he sees you, and he's telling you this is who you are, and you are saying, no, that ain't me. You don't know who you are unless you're agreeing with God, and then allowing him to form you, just like he brought Abraham out of Abram, just like he brought Israel out of Jacob, just like he brought Paul out of Saul, just like he went with all the process that David had to go. Do you realize from the time Samuel anointed David to the time David took the throne was about 15 years? And all of that running from some crazy man trying to kill him, and all of the, it was part of the process. I got to take this shepherd boy who knows how to hang out with sheep, and process him so that he can reign as king over my sheep. It's part of the process. So all of these people that get saved today and say, God, call me next week, and are ministering the next week, you ain't been through no process. And the question you probably need to ask if you think you should be somewhere that you're not is, where did I abort the process? Because God has done his part. He's done. Come on, come on, come on. Did you stop? oh, I'm just waiting on God. And God's like, I'm waiting on you. I don't know what you're waiting on. I've already done. It's done. Come on. My saying, all lights are green until they're not. He's waiting on you to make the step. How you respond to what he shows you, how you respond to what he says, is going to make the difference in whether or not you really fully, to the max, fulfill what he has always known you to be and to do. So the question is, how does God want to manifest his kingdom and reveal his glory through you in this season? Are you resisting the fire? Are you resisting the pruning shears? Are you resisting? Are you not letting go and holding on to a lie or some kind of false image that's keeping you stuck? He doesn't want you stuck anymore. God has a glorious plan for your life. Everybody in here. I don't have time to waste anymore. Not just because I'm going to be 70 next month. If I was 30, I still wouldn't have. With 100 years left to live, I don't have time to waste. I'm not aborting anything anymore. I will allow God to do whatever he needs to do. I will my ear to your heart, God. I just want to hear what you're saying. And I thank you for the grace to respond in faithful obedience to everything that you say. I'll let you take whatever you need to take. I'll let you pour in whatever needs to be poured in. I just want to look like you. I want to leave here emptied of everything that you placed me in this realm to do. I want to be fruitful in the thing that you have called me to. I want to multiply. I want to fill the earth. I want to fulfill your purpose and original intent. Last verse, Ephesians 1. This is your and God's intent, that we should be to the praise of his glory. It didn't say that we should praise his glory. It said that we should be my very existence. My very life should cause people to look at me, we just said that earlier, and praise his glory.